the glorious body of Christ, the church. Oh, hallelujah. The most glorious of all God creations. Of everything that God has created, this is the prize. This is the greatest. And He has taken the depraved men, creatures. He has taken those who are sinners. And from this, He has taken us from the depths of depravity, from the abyss of those things that are complete opposite of Him, and made us in essence a component of Him.
Hallelujah.
Oh my God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
When you think of that, everything else in life becomes secondary. Hallelujah. Even as we move through the essence of our daily walk, as we're able to concentrate on this, it brings about a definite appreciation of God that is beyond the everyday provisions of life. Goes beyond food.
Right.
Even though we all need food. I know I love food, and I know a few brothers right here. Love food. So we all have to eat. But life is more than eating.
Yes, it is. Amen.
Clothes, raiment. Even though all of these things are needed, and God provides them. But the enlightenment of His word has come to convey to us this morning that God has done so much more. Oh my God. I suppose our bodies really couldn't stand it if God pulled back the cover and He just showed us everything right now. We just dropped dead. We wouldn't be able to handle it. Hallelujah. He just gives us a glimpse of light. Amen. Just a small view. Paul said, I was caught up in the third heaven and I saw things that were unalterable.
Yeah.
I know the King James said it wasn't lawful of that. You'll see the word nomos in there anywhere. I don't know where they got that lawful business from. It's unalterable. What Paul was saying is that if I wanted to tell you, I couldn't. Because it is so glorious. Now the body of Christ is a very, very, very extensive subject. The terminology that pertains to it entails volumes of hidden truth that really lay waiting to be discovered as we look at these many truths that are to be gleaned, understood, and applied by those whom the Holy Spirit chooses to reveal it to. If you are blessed this morning to receive such information, you are highly favored. There's so many that don't have, I'm talking about God's people, don't have a clue.
No.
There's some that only see God as a supplier of perishable goods. Yes, I say perishable goods.
That's right.
All of the earthly commodities are perishing. They are perishing, according to the Bible, they are perishing with the using.
That's right. That's right.
Yes.
All of them. All of them.
But all God has given us an eternal blessing. And this is what Paul is speaking about in the first chapter of Ephesians.
Yes.
When he speaks of these things, he is not talking, when he says, blessings, he said, thank God that the adjective is there. They're spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual blessings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, earthly blessings, physical blessings, we thank God for every last one of them.
Yeah.
But here, spiritual blessings that are in the sphere of Christ Jesus. As we said before, there is a plethora of scripture references to this revelation, and we have dealt with some of them. Deacon Gavin shall be our designated reader this morning. And we had started out in Galatians chapter 3. Let's go there this morning. And we were just about to, through those verses that we had focused on. Those three verses of scripture, amen, were in the third chapter, verses 26, 27, 28, and 29. And also in conjunction to that, this morning, we're going to move to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 16 and 17. And now many avoid the writings of Paul and they like to esteem them. And they don't go there because he's not dealing with the physical scene.
Right.
And he's not really dealing with that which focus and priority is viewed from time. But he's dealing with eternal blessings. Those things that have no limitation of duration.
That's right.
One day you're going out of here.
Yeah.
If the Lord tells us, we're going to move out of here.
Yes.
And we've tried to put some gauge upon lifespan so that we can compare them, and as we compare them and we actually quantitate such, it's not a long time. Even if a man lives to be 100 years old, he has lived 1200 months. That is but a whisper as it relates to eternity, and most of us don't get to the 100 or even 90. In fact, I know I don't want, I said this and Lord hears me, I don't want to go there. Not that I don't like life, but this body at 60 tells me, no, don't add no 40 years to it.
Yeah.
But our hope is not in this life.
No. Amen.
And our gospel does not prioritize this life. The gospel of the grace of God, amen, is conveyed from the eternal view.
Yes.
The Paul says, eyes haven't seen, nor ears heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men. Those things that God has prepared for them. But he said, he has revealed them unto us.
Amen.
Woo! God, the Spirit of God. Oh my God. Hallelujah. And so when things begin to crumble and things begin to so-called go wrong, oh my God, hallelujah. He who has placed his hope, his ultimate aspiration and ultimate satisfaction in this life, amen, he's fantasizing. And he's going to be disappointed.
Very.
We're moving through. All right, Brother Deacon, you got that? Everybody got to see, man. All right, read that. Yes, he said we go through the same thing over and over, over and over. His pastor used to say, teaching is 90% repetition. You don't graduate to the point where you say, I don't need to read those three scriptures. I've read them enough. Doesn't work like that with the Word of God. All right, read it.
Galatians 3, verse 26. For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
Oh, my Lord.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
All right, we went through that. Keep going.
There is neither Jew nor Greek.
There's neither Jew nor Greek.
There's neither bond nor free.
There's neither bond nor free.
There's neither male nor female.
There's neither male, and it says nor, you have the Greek conjunction there, ker, which is translated and. Because male and female comes as a unit. And basically, he's not saying that there's neither male nor female, because the entity, the body itself, the church, carries the feminine gender. But what he's saying, there's no male and female, there's no such thing in the body. Amen. Everyone in the body, the body carries the feminine gender. Now the head is masculine, but the body is. Y'all don't hear me now.
Sure. That's right.
But in the local assembly, and this is where we left our week before last week being Easter. Amen. We dealt with some things concerning resurrection. Back on track today. But as we look at that, the essence of the body is the submissive component to the head.
Absolutely.
Which is Christ. And I think we ended up in the fifth chapter of, don't go there today, we're gonna move on. We'll never get through this if we don't. But the fifth chapter of Ephesians, Paul is talking about Christ in the church. And he's only using husband and wife as an example. For he plainly says, well, I'm speaking of Christ and the church. The church. Now, finish reading that, Brother Deacon.
For ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
This is where we're going to take off today. You're all one in Christ Jesus. Read the verse 29.
And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
And that's not the way that men of the commentaries, that's what the covenant theologians use to try to amalgamate the church with the Commonwealth of Israel and tell you that the church is just the manifestation of Israel, of the Commonwealth of Israel. Israel has evolved into the church, and God just blended us in, and he just grafted us into them. You know, that's in the 11th chapter of Romans, and of course we have that. And for those that may be listening on my audio as on the web, you go to the document, How Does God Justify, and also you go to the document, Who Are God's Elect. More specifically, you go into the 11th chapter of Romans, and you see that Paul wasn't saying no such thing, that we were being grafted into them. Because how could we be grafted into them when they're not complete? We're complete, but they're not complete. Huh? The Jews, they are yet estranged from Christ. Yes. Christ didn't graft us into some people who don't believe in him.
No way.
that would certainly be antithetical to say we are complete in Christ. That's to right. Say that we have been grafted into Israel when Israel is estranged from him. I don't want to be grafted into that. And you shouldn't either.
Yeah.
But let's look at the last phrase of that 28th verse. As it provides a succinct summation of the arrayed conversions that we have given unto you. Now literally, that last phrase, "Repondes God," it means "is este in Christo Jesu." It's translated, "For you are all one in Christ Jesus." In the spiritual state, what it is saying is all believers are one, and that all have been made one in Christ. We gave you some variances: Jew, Gentile, bond, free, male, female. Now, just notice this, the structure here. Jew and Gentile have been made one because the middle wall partition has been destroyed. And as Ephesians chapter 2 verses 14 and 15 basically conveys, that he might create the two in him unto one new man, making peace.
Yes, yes, yes.
In the second verse, bond not free, a slave not free. What we have gleaned is that no socio-economic classifications are present in the body as Christ is the only supplier of his bloodline. In the final verse, which we spent a little time on, we can just sum it up by saying the issue of gender is no gender. I said it again. The issue of gender is no issue. In that there are no such peculiarities. In fact, in the body of Christ, there is only one gender reference, as we said, and it is feminine, denoting the church's and the body's submissiveness and subjection to the will of his masculine head,
yes,
Jesus Christ. And that's what the conveyance of Ephesians 5 and 32 is expressing. But here we observe, and we're going to go into a little grammar here, bring out this point, that the Greek adjective pandes, rendered all, and the adjectival cardinal is, rendered one, they are both in the nominative case. Single number, and is the masculine a neuter gender as they are arrayed and juxtaposed by the delineated variances: Jew, Gentile, slave, free, male, female. As we look at these words, Euthios, Elohim, Thulos, Elephalos, Asim, Thule. When you look and you juxtapose those, you see that these nouns, pandas and is, are all modifying them because they are carrying the same declensions, are the same characteristics. So from this we glean that you can take Jew, Gentile, slave, free, male, female, and just say all, or just say one, because it's all the same, all is one.
That's all right. That's all right.
Hallelujah.
Amen. In the body of Christ.
Bring it out. Bring it out.
Yes.
So here the grammar bears this out. So all in one in Christ Jesus. And it is in this sense that we recognize the liberty that is in Christ as we note the Greek word eleftherios, rendered freedom. Note, it expresses the fact that there are no restrictions or barriers given any advantages to our impediments against.
That's right.
Yeah. Any.
Mm-hmm.
As none that are in the body of Christ are deserving.
Come on.
And this is what something that needs to sink down to the church.
Yeah. Yeah. Glory.
Grace means no merit. None of us. We're not deservers.
Satan.
Huh? Mm-hmm. We're undeservers.
Yeah.
A non-deserver.
Yeah.
Huh? Oh my God. Hallelujah. We are all position in him as an act of grace.
Yes.
Thus all are equally acceptable through our Lord Jesus Christ as all are on the same level of depravity within ourselves. We're all in need of the same redemption by his grace and mercy.
Yes.
All are equally positioned and entitled to the same privileges in this body.
Hallelujah.
Regardless of race, ethnicity, social, and economic status,
agenda,
there's no rank in this membership.
Come on here.
Everyone upon whom the image and blood of Christ is affixed is equal pilots, equal pilots in every respect. Now, this is in stark contrast to the elect entity of the Commonwealth of Israel.
All right,
this is what mixes the church up.
Come on.
We started going back in those areas, and we started reading back there, and then trying to match what, take what's back there, match it up to what, and it's up. Even the historians realize that there's a difference in Paul's message. It's sad. I can turn on ABC and look at a secular account of the life of Paul, and they recognize that what he preached was different. And here in the church, amen, we're trying to amalgamate it. And this is how we get tripped up. Because in the Commonwealth of Israel, as you look into its covenants, amen, the Mosaic covenant, and in particular, the new covenant, there are definite unmovable lines of distinctions as the Jews bear the privilege of being favored and esteemed over the Gentile subjects that we receive their portion through Israel. That's in the earthly realm.
That's right.
There is the system of rank and classes. And this is what messes us up. Along the lines of birth and blood lineage, as well as gender classifications, as defined by the law and the prophetic writings of Isaiah, Zechariah. I would give these, but they're in the document, which you will be getting shortly. In this sense, there will be the continuous implementation of many things that are physically manifested as numerous customs will be operated on that basis. So when you go into the prophecies, it may seem antithetical, and it is from a standpoint that what is said there is not meant for us. It's not meant for the body. It could not be. At this point, the body is unknown.
That's it. Glory.
Breathe. We look into those areas of the Bible.
Glory.
Into the prophets. Follow me now. There was reference to lords and servants in the kingdom gospel and its economy. depicting differences in every matter of the millennial age. And one of those scriptures there, Zechariah, it says that a man will grab the skirt of the leg of a Jew because he knows that's the way the blessings are going to flow. We don't have to do that. That couldn't be us. We couldn't be in here this morning praising God. Amen. Because Israel is yet estranged from God. Amen. She is blinded. She is blinded until the time of the Gentile has passed. Amen. She is blinded in this age. There's no expectation that she will see, understand, receive her Messiah, Jesus Christ, in this age. It is not appointed to her to see, to understand, to know, oh man, oh my God, and embrace Jesus Christ in this age. So we're not a part of that. So, this is the order. Those that will be blessed under the auspices of the Abrahamic and subsequent new covenants. We're not under the Abrahamic covenant. There's no reference to us. That reference of all the nations of the earth being blessed, that, amen, was, that is speaking about the Gentile nations that will be blessed through Abraham or through his seed. Amen. That's not talking about us. Amen. Amen. If that is talking about us, how could we receive our blessings when they have not received theirs? They would have to receive theirs before we could receive ours. There is a line of distinction between the body of Christ and Israel. The church is not Israel. Israel is not the body of Christ. And no, 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 the church is not spiritual Israel. To further corroborate that, there would be a multiplicity of observances, and even customs, and rituals, according to the kingdom law principles and stipulations, as outlined in Old Testament prophecies, and even the teachings of Jesus and the kingdom apostles, all of these as they are arrayed, amen, is not information giving us blessings for the body of Christ. But all of these distinctions are in the earthly realm, and of course, because there's an attempt to amalgamate the messages, it becomes the source of much confusion to those who do not understand the distinction between the heavenly spiritual and earthly physical elect entities. Yes, elect is God, a God's elect, amen, but the elect of God are not all one grouping. This points out the difficulties that ensue when the distinct promises and messages of the gospel of the kingdom and its constituents are amalgamated with those designed for the gospel of the grace of God and its constituents. In light of the extreme variation of existence between the elect entities abiding in the heavenly, that is in the earthly sphere of New Jerusalem, versus the heavenly sphere in Christ, amen, it is critical to those called in this dispensation to prioritize the message of the mystery as conveyed by the Apostle Paul to the body of Christ, the church, in that this information is not available anywhere else in the scriptures. And this is why we major in the epistles that are written by Paul, because it speaks to those things that concern us. From this, we recognize that our position, our heavenly abode, is in Christ rather than in New Jerusalem.
That's right, thank you.
And someone will say, well, won't you be in New Jerusalem? Well, sure, because we're in Christ. But the essence of being in New Jerusalem, amen, is incidental to the fact that we're in Christ.
That's right.
Let us let's move to the 29th verse. Brother Deacon, I want you to read that again. No, I'm not jumping all over the place this morning. If you hot where you sitting, I'm starting to hot up here with this robe on.
Yeah.
All right. Read.
Galatians 3:29.
Mm-hmm.
And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Now this is what messes up the church world.
Bring it out.
They actually take this verse and attempt to use it to show that our salvation is through Abraham and ultimately through Israel. And this is what they use to tie us in. And that's the problem with the defective Bible exegesis.
That's right.
Now, three things that you have to tie in together in the universe.
Yes.
And that is grammatical, historical, and contextual. And you must get all three to align and agree to have the proper conveyance of what is expressed. And you cannot teach contextualize. First of all, the new covenant and amalgamated with the grace covenant.
Can't do it.
All right? Let's look at this.
All right.
As we exegete it, here we will give you the translation from the Greek text. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. That is the King James from the Greek text. And if you belong to Christ, then you are the seed of Abraham, heirs according to promise. Drop the D.
Hallelujah.
Now one must be careful not to misconstrue that the wordage of this verse assigns members of the body of Christ the promises God made to Abraham in the Abrahamic covenant. Here it should be clearly understood that even though the kingdom and grace gospels entail different placement plans, and this is, I was reading something yesterday, and boy, those that espouse covenant theology, they really go after the so-called dispensations with this one. Because they say that those that teach dispensation teach different salvation plans. Well, and of course, we will not accept any type labels.
Mm-hmm.
No, we're not Calvinists.
Nope.
We're not dispensationalists.
Nope. Nope.
Amen. But we follow the Bible.
Amen.
But as you look at this, there are different placement plans, as we have just said. Come on for Israel, body of Christ, all the elect, but different placement entities.
Sure.
If you're in the body of Christ, you're not in the commonwealth of Israel. No, if you're in the commonwealth of Israel, you're not in the body of Christ.
No way.
You can't be in both or neither. Well, I guess you can if you're non-elect. That's it. You're either in the body of Christ, commonwealth of Israel, and those Gentiles that are in the commonwealth of Israel, they are subject to blessings through Israel.
That's right.
So that makes them a part of it.
All right.
And then you have the non-elect.
That's true.
Those whom God did not choose.
That's it. Amen.
But the problem is that those who are just bent on placing the elect into one category, they become confused. Follow me now. There are different placement plans, yet there is only one hope of salvation, which is through the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
it is only in this view that one can comprehend that the cogitation expressed, and here we have the Greek phrase Christu, when the, and if you belong to Christ. If you belong to Christ refers to all who receive salvation, the elect, regardless of their placement status. What we're saying is that all of the elect, amen, belong to Christ. There's only one way, amen, to be justified. That is through Christ. There's only one way to be saved. It is through Christ. There's only one way to save. All men are saved, they're justified by the blood of Jesus. It's all through Christ. Only one way to God, through Christ. Only one way to stand before God, through Christ.
Through Christ. Yes.
Hallelujah. Only way.
Regardless of what your placement situation may be,
yes,
whether it's Commonwealth of Israel,
yes,
a body of Christ,
yes,
it is all through Christ.
All of it.
Amen.
All of it.
And this is what is confusing to some. Thus, it is in this sense only that Paul conveys the Greek phrase, aratu, avraham, sperma, esti, kar, ephalerion, karonomy, translated, then you are the seed of Christ. So Paul says, you belong to Christ, then you are the seed of Abraham. You are the seed of Abraham. That's what that says. You are the seed of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
According to promise.
Mm-hmm. No B.
You are the seed of Abraham as according to promise.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to read the conveyance again. Then you are the seed of Abraham according to promise.
All right.
But you must hook on to that, and if you belong to Christ.
All right.
If you belong to Christ, then you are the seed of Abraham as according to promise, because you belong to Christ. It has nothing to do with Abraham, because you belong to Christ. What this is saying. Here the thought conveys is that all those who belong to Christ are heirs of salvation according to the promise of justification by faith. That's what that's saying. You are heirs according to the promise of justification by faith, not according to the dispensation of covenant of promise. But you belong to Christ, and you are heirs because you belong to Christ according to the promise of justification by faith. Abraham was justified by faith, even though he did not know it, he did not understand it. Amen. Oh my God. But what has been conveyed to us is that it is through Christ, and the emphasis on Christ. Follow me now. The focal part of the context is that the principle of salvation entails justification by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ,
yeah,
which can be traced back to Abraham.
All right.
Even though his limited knowledge did not afford him the understanding that the seed is Christ. Accordingly, those who are members of the body of Christ are not related to Abraham in the flesh. I want you to get this.
Mm-hmm. We're not.
I'm going to repeat it. Those who are members of the body of Christ are not related to Abraham in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Are in the sense of the Messiah,
mm-hmm,
and the promises of the earthly kingdom of Jesus Christ sitting on the throne of David in Jerusalem. I'm going to repeat that. Because
mm-hmm,
there's much controversy.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a member of the body of Christ, you have no relationship to Abraham in the flesh.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And you have not been assigned,
huh,
in the sense of Messiah and the promises that are given, amen, and that are expressed by the prophets, that are expressed in the gospel preached by John the Baptist and Jesus and the 12 and the 70. No, not even what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. You have no part of that. God has given you more than that.
Glory to God. Much
more. And that's a big argument among theologians. Now, give me 10 minutes. There are those who utilize this passage of scripture, as well as others, in teaching that the church is the spiritual descendant of Israel through Abraham. Nonsense. Here it must be emphasized that the promises made in the Abrahamic and New Covenants are in no way germane to those in the Grace Covenant. See, this is why you got to divide this Bible according to dispensations. Mm-hmm. This is why God's people don't know who we are. Mm-hmm. You can't look in the Abraham Covenant and find yourself. You can't look in the New Covenant and find yourself.
No.
You must look in the Grace Covenant. Amen. To see the recipients in the body of Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
Abraham never knew it. None of the patriarchs ever knew it. Isaiah and Jeremiah.
Yeah.
Daniel.
Yeah.
Ezekiel.
Nah.
All of the minor prophets.
That's right.
They never knew it. They never saw it. They never heard it.
Amen.
Get this. John the Baptist never knew it.
No.
Yeah. Jesus knew it.
Yeah.
But he didn't care to reveal it.
That's it.
When he preached to the Jews.
That's right.
Because it wasn't for them.
It wasn't
the disciples never knew it. Peter, John, James. This is why you can't get the commissions all mixed up.
That's it.
That's right. That's right.
And make Paul the replacement for Judas. They never knew it.
Never.
Peter on the day of Pentecost, when he preached, he knew nothing about the body of Christ.
Nothing.
He was preaching to say, "You men of Judah, you men of Israel." He was, and it was his concentration was where his commission was, to the household of Israel. To the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
To the commonwealth of Israel. To which he had been appointed. And commissioned.
That's right.
And called.
That's right. Yeah.
This is why. Yes. If you have to. If it's going to mess up. Otherwise. They put blinders on. And then just look in the Grace Covenant. But we're not saying. And I want to make this perfectly clear.
Fine.
With the few minutes I got left.
Hallelujah.
And our writings bear us out.
Yeah.
We're not saying that the other parts of the Bible are not true,
mm-hmm.
because they are.
Yeah.
We're not saying that they are not necessary, because they are.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not saying that there's no profit from reading them, because our gospel tells us is there for our learning.
That's what it said.
But you cannot go into those areas and into those contracts and get information that deals with the directives to you as a member of the body of Christ.
Yes.
Amen.
It was a secret. It was unknown. Unrevealed, as you were bringing out in Sunday school this morning. Mm-hmm. They never knew it.
Didn't know it.
They never heard it.
Mm-mm.
Until God revealed it to Paul.
Amen.
No, we don't accept labels.
Mm-hmm.
We're not Pauline. Paul's been dead over 2,000 years.
Yes, yes.
He was the messenger boy.
Sure was.
But the message came from Jesus Christ through Paul.
Yes.
Amen. So it's not about Paul, it's about Jesus who gave us the directions through Paul.
Glory.
Yeah.
Make
it plain. Make it plain. Yes.
Otherwise, you've got your hopes in New Jerusalem. Glorious city that comes down from heaven is nothing compared as glorious with the 12 gates, the pearls, the streets of gold. Amen. I guarantee you, I can't stand here this morning and give you the essence of what it means to be in Christ. But I tell you, New Jerusalem doesn't compare. In Christ.
Glory.
In the essence of Christ. Give me 3 minutes here. So the hopes and aspirations of the kingdom economy, as it is prophesied in the Old Testament and taught in the Synoptic Gospels as well as John, they are distinct from those that are delineated in the mystery that were revealed to the Apostle Paul for the body of Christ, the church, in the dispensation of grace. So I leave you with this today when we take up week after next.
Right.
The body of Christ is a new entity, a new creation. That was not known until it is revealed to Paul in the mystery. The body of Christ, it is the most glorious of all God's creation, and its composition is entirely spiritual as opposed to that which is physical. The most glorious of all God's creation. Amen. The most blessed of all of God's people. Us. Called into this dispensation. The greatest thing that God creates. The church. Oh my God. You and I. And sometimes we fail to see it because we're looking at one another. You're looking at me, and as you look at me too long, you see flaws. You see things that shouldn't be. You see failure. You see corruption. Oh yes, there's corruption in all of us. We have a tendency, if we look at others, and we don't like what we see as we look at others. But we recognize that that same thing is in us that is in them. Depravity is depravity. Depravity equals depravity. Depravity looks like depravity. Depravity thinks like depravity. Oh, hallelujah. This is the greatest of what God does. Amen. As expressed, oh my God, in the third chapter of Ephesians, and on the 10th verse, when it says to the principalities and powers, when he displays his might, when he displays his wisdom, when he displays the glory of all of his work, when he has taken the praying ones like you and me. Oh, hallelujah. Justified us. Sanctified us. Oh my God. Transformed us and placed us and made us righteous and made us holy and made us the greatest and the glorious thing that even the angels could ever look upon. Hallelujah. Someone look at me now.
Thank God.
Hallelujah.
Thank God.
as much, oh, hallelujah, that's out of place, but that's going to change. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. Don't look at yourself. Amen. If you're like me, sometimes you get disgusted with yourself. Oh, hallelujah. Let's be honest. Amen. Some of us, we can excuse ourselves. Amen. But if you look at it and you see and you assess what's there, sometimes it disgusts you. Oh, I'm talking about yourself now. Oh, we need to be disgusted with others. Hallelujah. But sometimes we are disgusted with ourselves. If we look at ourselves, amen, in the light of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Oh, one day, oh, my God, mortality, oh, Lord, will disappear, will dissipate. It will be replaced by immortality, and sin and depravity will be replaced by righteousness and goodness. And this is why we say, joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Glory. Hallelujah. Glory.